Good morning again, everybody. I am excited this morning to welcome Joe Ho. At one point, we would call him a guest preacher, and I suppose that is still true. But Joe and his family are now calling churches across home since the fall, I suppose. And so we are really excited to have Joe preaching a word for us this morning. Joe, if you want to come on up, as is our tradition, I invite you to extend a hand and let's pray a blessing over Joe. Father God, we thank you for Joe. God, we are grateful for the word that he will bring this morning. And we are thankful, Lord, for the many ways in which you have gifted him. God, we pray your blessing upon Joe, upon Tracy, upon their family. And Lord, we pray this morning that as we listen to this word that you have given him, that it touches our hearts, our minds, our souls in the specific ways that we each need this morning. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Jesus saw two boats there by the shore, left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. It's hard to overstate how important these nets were to these fishermen. They provided for their families with these nets. They were proud of them, or at least proud of how skilled they had become at using them. They used them hour after hour, day after day, and each day they likely had to wash them. They had to pick out the debris, untangle knotted masses, and repair frays and breaks before carefully packing and storing them. They were washing their nets just as they had yesterday and the day before and the day before that. But today would be different. You pray with me one more time. Holy Spirit, we ask for your presence with us to transform the words that we say and hear. We ask that you would make out of them words for us that are from you to each of our hearts. We know that we need to rely on you for that, for the human words and human language to become more than that. And so we ask for that, and we boldly expect it, because that's what you do. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning is not about nets. It is about a man named Simon, a man named Jesus, and how their relationship develops. But Simon was a fisherman, and his identity as a fisherman was that day, like every day, intimately connected with the nets. And so I believe we can follow Simon's developing relationship with Jesus by following the nets in this story. As an aside, we could just as easily do this with the boats, but I could not just as easily have carried a boat up here to this lectern. So it's the nets. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the Lake of Gennesaret and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. So they were washing these nets, doing the mundane but necessary work of resisting entropy. Washing nets plays a necessary and substantial routine in all of our vocations. Think of tying the children's shoes, changing the oil in our vehicles, washing dishes, replying to emails, completing paperwork. But today, as they washed their nets, they did so within earshot of a preacher named Jesus. That might seem like an obvious detail, but it's the one that makes the rest of the story possible. They were washing their nets in proximity to Jesus. Our narrative doesn't say whether it was on purpose, whether they had chosen that spot to be close to Jesus, or whether Jesus had chosen that spot to be close to them, but they ended up there somehow. In your day-to-day routine of washing nets, where do you find yourself in proximity to Jesus? Do you have a person in your life that brings Jesus to mind by the things they say or do? Do you have a periodic habit such as coming to church or perhaps some personal or family spiritual practice? I want to commend whatever part of your life brings you proximity to Jesus, no matter how small. Even if that's like this one time coming to church this morning, you haven't done it in forever and don't intend to do it again. Thank you for giving us your time. Thank you for giving yourself to proximity to Jesus. I hope you feel welcome to remain in proximity to him without any pressure or guilt while you observe the different ways Simon and others of us perhaps may respond to him. You belong and you are wanted, however you find proximity to Jesus in your life. And if you feel like you've already been in proximity to Jesus, but are no longer satisfied with just washing your nets from a distance, I want to tell you that there can be more for you. Jesus got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. They were just washing their nets, about to put them away, when Jesus asked them to load up again and push off from the shore. With the pressing crowd, visibility and audibility were becoming a problem. Preaching from the water would help solve that problem, and Simon seemed willing to oblige. Notice that Simon's nets and boat were no longer just in proximity to Jesus, but were actually brought alongside Jesus' work. Simon's vocation was still his own, but he was now making a contribution to Jesus' vocation. Some of you today, these days, are making contributions to Jesus' work alongside your own. This can be as quick as writing a check to a cause or volunteering on a one-time basis. It might be more regular than that. It might be directly related to your vocational skill, such as if you are a teacher helping out with the children in the garden, or you are an accountant serving as our treasurer. Or it might be less related, as if say, an accountant were to help out in the garden, or a teacher were to serve as our treasurer. If that's you, I want to thank you for whatever you have decided to offer. I spent a lifetime in ministry that would have been utterly impossible without many people offering many multiples of my own work hours and financial expense to Jesus' vocation. And of course, if anyone wants to contribute to Jesus' work and doesn't know how, there's a convenient QR code in the back of your bulletin. And if you just look at that, you will find the many different exciting ways to be involved here. And I'm sure we can find something that will fit you, your interests and passions. But I do want to observe that for most of us, as for Simon, contributing to Jesus' work can leave the rest of our lives largely undisturbed. As I talk to college students in the course of my ministry, even self-consciously devout followers of Jesus, most of them don't recall that their college choice had much to do with Jesus. I know that I wasn't thinking much about Jesus when I made my college choice. We've had three children pass through that phase of life recently, and we've, of course, prayed for certain positive outcomes and certain clarity of decision-making. But our most consistent prayer through that time was that they would experience this decision as one that was interactive with and involving Jesus in some way. We wanted them to remember this fork in their road as one that was in response to Jesus and not just in parallel. At this point in Simon's life, he was still just carrying his nets in parallel with Jesus. It cost him slightly more to carry his nets out into the water than to wash them in proximity to Jesus. But this slight extension of his workday would be of negligible significance to the rest of his week, let alone the rest of his life. Or so he thought. When he had finished speaking, Jesus said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." The tension in our narrative ramps up when Jesus moves beyond being a professional preacher asking a professional fisherman for some professional collaboration. Simon's relationship with Jesus begins to turn when Jesus interferes with Simon's relationship with his nets. Jesus is no longer asking Simon to help him be a preacher. He is trying to tell Simon how to be a fisherman. Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." This is one of those lines in the Bible where I really wish there were some indication of tone. Was it submissive? "Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." Was it proudly declarative? "Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." Was it resigned? Remember that he was just washing the nets and about to put them away. Now he's going to have to wash them again. And if you say so, I'll let down the nets. Or even sarcastic. The professionals have been doing this all night, but if you say so, I'll let down the nets. We have no way of knowing which of those it might be, but it is clear from his statement that putting down the nets was Jesus' idea, not his. It ran counter to his professional judgment. We don't know what he was feeling when he did it, but the turning point in Simon's relationship with Jesus occurs when he does it. When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to burst. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were astounded at the catch of fish that they had taken. Simon's relationship with Jesus had progressed as he moved from washing his nets in proximity to Jesus to offering his nets and boat alongside Jesus, and now to casting his nets at Jesus' bidding instead of his own, and finally to seeing Jesus fill his nets to bursting. I want to underscore what I have been hinting at a couple times. Simon's relationship with Jesus started with his proximity to Jesus and his participation in Jesus' religious activity. But it hinged on the moment when Jesus intruded on the public, secular part of his life. And it especially hinged on the moment when Simon had to make a risky decision against his professional judgment. This would give him a chance to experience an outcome that was entirely in Jesus' hands and not his own. May I suggest that Jesus is asking some of us to let down our nets today. Much of our lives are washing our nets, or perhaps bringing them along with us as we interact with Jesus. And that's okay. But like Simon, we may sometimes find that Jesus is far less domesticated than that. If we will say yes, if we would be open to his intrusion on our conventional wisdom, even against our hard-won judgment. And may I add that it doesn't matter much if you say yes submissively, presumptuously, or even begrudgingly. The key is saying yes. There was an InterVarsity student I had some passing contact with back in the East Coast who now works in the business world. I recently heard him recounting a story from work. He was a relatively new employee, and on top of that, one of the only Black employees, trying to make his way in a relatively high-powered environment. One morning, he felt a distinct and specific prompting from God. Send this passage from Hosea to a particular higher-up executive, a much higher-up executive. The passage was the one where Hosea's wife is unfaithful to him, and Hosea is commanded to find her and take her back. It gets better. So he was to suggest that this story was a word for what this executive should consider in his own marriage. So his response was very much, would have been my response, a hard pass, Jesus. I am not going to do that. But day after day, it just kept eating at him. He started to feel physically sick, not being able to shake this feeling. And so after many agonizing days, he finally pounded out the email, hit send. Response came back promptly. Please meet me in my office tomorrow morning, first thing. It's time to get your LinkedIn updated. So he goes into this boss's office, closes the door, and the boss says to him, "How did you know?" Now, he actually never found out what the situation was that the boss was going through. And despite a number of subsequent spiritual conversations, he never found out whether the email had any impact on the boss's personal life or spiritual life. But his risky yes to Jesus did for sure allow him to see Jesus in a larger and more intimate way. Now, I'm not saying that life with Jesus is one crazy thing after another, although you and I might know some people for whom it appears that way. I am saying that there is a kind of experience with Jesus that you will never have if your life decisions make sense without him. We all live with preconceived assumptions about our lives and therefore with Jesus' place in them. Simon took a risk to let down his nets, and he had his preoccupations of Jesus blown wide open. This was no longer about fishing, and it scared him to death. He realized that there was a big gap between what he thought Jesus was and who he thought Jesus was and who Jesus actually was. And that's part of what's behind, I'm a sinful man. So not just like I've broken some rules, but like there's this big gap between you and me that I did not realize was there. But at this point, Jesus says to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The narrative closes with one more twist. We can tell that Peter is now thinking of much more than his nets. Because, after all, he says, "Go away from me, I am a sinful man," instead of, "Stick around with me, I am about to become a sinfully rich man." At this moment, when Jesus is the largest and most intimidating in his eyes, the invitation comes. "From now on, you will be catching people. You're not going to be needing these anymore." Last month, I spoke to a nursing student that is starting a nurses Christian fellowship group at her undergraduate program. Now, she's a non-traditional undergraduate. She's somewhere in her 30s. She had chosen her previous career as a self-identifying non-Christian. It was an honorable career in the sciences, but one that she admits that she specifically chose so that she would not have to interact with people. But she and her husband came to faith in Christ while young, and then after about a decade of interacting with Jesus, she had her vocation reoriented. She was asked to leave her nets behind and have her scientific vocation repurposed in nursing. And no sooner did she start her education, she found herself not only preparing to interact with people as a nurse, but immediately interacting with a lot of people by starting a campus ministry. Washing his nets, bringing along his nets, letting down his nets, and now Simon's relationship with Jesus has him leaving behind his nets. I'm quite certain there are some of us that are in proximity to Jesus, and those of us contributing alongside Jesus. I'm pretty confident that some of us are hearing Jesus invite us to a counterintuitive, risky choice in some part of our vocational life. I don't know if anyone here this morning is being asked to leave your nets, to respond to Jesus that you have come to experience as larger, more surprising, more reliable than you imagined. I don't know if that entails an invitation to significantly repurpose a major part of your life, one that you could easily have assumed would always be there. Maybe there's no one. I do know that our tradition has prescribed this text for this morning. I do know that I was asked to preach on this date on any of the four prescribed texts. And I'm pretty confident that Mother Sarah didn't know that a prototype version of this nets message has been rolling around in the back of my mind for about 10 years without ever having a chance for it to go anywhere. And so it makes me wonder if this last invitation, as well as the first three, might be for someone as well. And if that's you this morning, can I invite you to listen to the voice of Jesus as we continue in worship? Would you allow what is just the words of a preacher and just the words of a preacher or just the words of a lector to become God's word to you as the service goes on? This was not in the first service, but I'd like to add perhaps one more word for us as a congregation. We expect sometime soon to hear about a new rector being invited into our church. For some of us, having a new person, we will hopefully be a way for us to experience Jesus. Now, for some of us, it might seem like it's just the voice that we're in the proximity to that changes, right? We get to hear a particular voice more often from up here or in a newsletter. For some of us as a church, it might feel like, oh, well, now we're being asked to contribute in different kinds of ways and to offer what we have maybe perhaps before, but in different kinds of ways. It might be that. But it's also possible that some of us might experience this as more different, more challenging, more disruptive. We might be asked to do something significantly different from what we were before. And Jesus might use this change in voice, in whatever might come from her or his leadership, to say, do something that's unconventional or might have seemed unconventional for Church of the Cross as a whole or for you as an individual. And perhaps some of us, and I don't know what this would look like, it might be more disruptive than that. We might, as a congregation, repurpose ourselves, still be fishermen, but fishers of men in a different way. We might individually find this as a way of that it would precipitate a larger change. And I don't know what that's like, but it can be disorienting. May this moment for us be more than just like a different YouTube voice that you listen to, or a leadership transition of a new chief executive, right? But it would be an opportunity beyond whatever is the same or different with a new leader, that it might be behind that the voice of Jesus calling us as a congregation. I might say that I've seen lots of leadership transitions, and everyone wants to see change, something new, but no one wants to leave anything behind as part of that being new. And I just want to exhort us that there will be miracles, and there will be leaving of nets, and that. If it's about the miracles or the leaving of nets and not about hearing the voice of Jesus, that's where things can get crunchy. So I would encourage us as individuals in our personal lives, but also as a congregation in this time that is admittedly exciting and also admittedly destabilizing, to be open to the voice of Jesus behind it. I pray for us. Jesus, we thank you that you come to us, that actually We know that it was not a coincidence that you were there, that you brought yourself into Simon's life, and that you bring yourself into our lives time and again. And we thank you that you are willing to come to us in the innocuous ways of being on the edges or inviting us to participate and just offer what you easily offer. But we also thank you for the moments that you invite us to take risky decisions or even leave things behind that are costly and threatening and disruptive, because we know that you are the one that doesn't reject the sinful person, but at that very moment invites us to come be a deeper part of you and your life than we ever could have imagined. We pray in your name. Amen.